Do you guys want some truth this morning? Do you want to be challenged? Do you want to hear what God has to say? Even when it hurts?
If you don't, now is the time to exit. Last week after church, you know, we had quarterly meeting coming at 3 o'clock. And my mom was here that weekend because Lucas and I went down and did some music for the Quaker Man Banquet. And I asked Chandra after church, I said, did you have anything already made for dinner today? She's like, no, but there's things I was planning on making. I can make it, you know, real fast. And so I said, well, why don't we just go to Marshalltown and go to Pizza Ranch and, you know, get the boys out. It's on mom's way home. She usually goes home after lunch anyway. So that's what we did. We put the car seats back in the police car since the Chandra had used it to take the girls to acquire the fire. Loaded the boys up, put them side by side, and like normal, after church, they were both tired, cranky, and hungry. And Jaron's running around the house, and mom had already taken him home and undressed him, and so we had to put his coat back on and his shoes back on, and he did not like that. And so we got him in the car, and Chandra, being the smart mother that she is, grabbed 2 sippy cups of milk and a big bag of pretzel rods. Because our boys really like pretzels, and they're salty, so they got to have something to drink. And this is going to tide them over, because if we don't, it's going to be a long 20 miles to Pizza Ranch. And so we're heading down the road, and you know Tyler's 4, and Jaron's not quite 2, and so Tyler has the job of feeding his brother. Jaron will go, eh. Tyler will stick a pretzel in his hand, Jaron will eat one, Tyler will eat one, it kind of goes back and forth. And Tyler knows this is his job, because if we hand the pretzels or the box of crackers or whatever to Jaron, it ends up on the floor upside down and we lose them all. Sometimes when Tyler gets really hungry, he eats them still because we leave him there for a while. So they've got this job and we're heading down the road and Tyler did really good at his job for about 8 miles. We got down to E29 and Tyler decided he had had enough pretzels. And so I'm driving, I've got one hand on the wheel, I'm casually driving to town and I hear Jaron go, eh. No response. And I'm driving and no response. This is the bear when he's hungry and tired, he gets angry. And so immediately I put my other hand on the wheel and pretend that the road is now very hard to drive on, and I've got to concentrate on this road and I just can't concentrate on what's happening in the back seat right now and let my wife take care of it, because man, driving all of a sudden got hard. And so I braced myself. I'm like, oh, buddy, here it comes. You didn't listen to mom and dad. And the response would be, Tyler, you give your brother that pretzel right now because you're his brother. That's your job. I told you to, and you're disobeying mommy, and you're making me unhappy, so give him that pretzel right now. And I'm thinking, buddy, you're going to get it. And her response was this, as calm as ever, Tyler, don't you know that every time you hand your brother a pretzel, you say, I love you to him by serving him? And right now, your brother needs you to say, I love you, and give him that pretzel. You guys seen that Staples commercial where the guy is walking on, whoa, that's a low price. I'm sitting, if I wasn't sitting down, I would have had you, because inside I'm like, wow, where did that come from? Well, the Bible. And you know that fixed the problem. Immediately, Tyler connected his service with his heart and his love for his brother. And the pretzels began again with a smile on his face. And on the way home, what melted our hearts was Jaron, after having a full belly and he's really tired and we're coming up Hopkins, and he just starts crying. And you know how he cries when kids want to go to sleep. All of a sudden, the crying stops, and we look back, and here's Tyler. Reached up over the car seat, grabbed his hand. He's rocking his hand like this, saying, it's okay, Jer Bear. It's okay, go to sleep. Wow. I was blown away. Now, the focus on that story is mostly Tyler's act of serving his brother, and that his action of giving him the pretzel was the same as telling his brother that he loved him. Now, Tyler loves his brother. If you know Tyler, you know that he will always choose love over himself. He just doesn't always connect the two. And when you connect them for him, his attitude is changed just like that. He will always sacrifice himself if it means showing a deeper love. Now, after he made the connection, he loved on his little brother better than I've ever seen him loving on his brother before. It's probably because Chandra has never made that connection. I've never made that connection for him that clearly in his language. And on the way home, he reached over and comforted his brother without a word from his parents. Like, wow, what a trip. Now, Tyler had no problem handing his brother those pretzels as long as it was convenient to him, right? As long as Tyler was eating the pretzels, he had every reason to stick his hand in that bag. He might as well pull out two, eat one, and give one to his brother. But about 8 miles down the road, Tyler got tired of pretzels and said, I'm done with this job. I'm not eating the pretzels. I don't need to hold the bag. I don't need to feed my brother. And he wasn't going to feed his brother. So when it was convenient for Tyler, it was easy to love his brother. When it became inconvenient, it became selfish. No longer needing to love until we made that connection for him. Now, it is so easy for us to be thinking one thing to someone and be showing another. When we say the words, I love you, who uses that phrase, I love you, those three little words? When we say the words, I love you or I love something, in our minds we may assume we do, but in our actions, that is where we find out what that love, what that word really means, isn't it? Love is an action word, right? Anybody going to argue that? We can say and we can think whatever we want, but if our actions are saying it's all about me or something different, then we are not loving. Now, love is a course of action. We just discussed that. Love is not a word. You guys have heard love is a verb? Love is an action. When Paul describes love in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, or chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, he uses words like patience, kind, slow to anger, not jealous or boastful, not proud or rude, not self-seeking, never gives up, never loses faith, is hopeful, and never fails. Now, these words are actions, right? Never once in there does he say that love means telling someone I love you, saying the words I love you. Love means telling your wife that you love her every morning. That means you love your wife. Giving her a kiss before you go to work, that means you love your wife. I did that for 4 years. It did not mean I love my wife. It took me 4 years for those dots to be connected, that saying I love you does not mean I love you. Love is an action. When you love someone or something, you act out of love and you serve that person even at your most inconvenient moment. You want to know how deep your love for someone is? Love them through the valley. It's easy to love on the mountaintop when things are easy. You want to know how good your love is? Go through a trial. When love becomes inconvenient and you still choose to love, that's love. That's what love really is. If there is no action, there is no love no matter what you say. Now, I have heard love used a whole lot since we came here. I've heard so many people say that they love our youth. Love our youth. You know, our youth are the future of this church. We need our youth program. We love all our kids. Love is an action. So if everybody loves our kids so much, when Christian Ed came looking for youth leaders, everybody should have raised their hand. Somebody's laughing in the back because, yeah, that's the truth. We asked more than one or two or three couples to become youth sponsors. You know, only one couple came back with the response that we prayed about it and we don't feel it's God's leading. Everybody else said we're too busy, 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 busy. Other words, it's too inconvenient for me to love on those kids. That's what we're saying. Are we making connections here? When we say no because of our own inconvenience, we're saying we don't love them because love is an action. It's not saying something. You know, my wife took the youth to Choir of the Fire this weekend. Do you know why? Because everybody we asked said no. You think that weekend was easy for her? We had Quaker men. We had kids. We had to get my mom to come up and watch the kids for us. Our boys had been sick since Tyler's birthday, which was February 10th. So February 10th through the 27th, we had had sickness in our home, and these were the busiest 2 months, but we loved those kids so much that she was willing to say, I will find a babysitter and I will take those kids, even though I know that I need to stop because I'm getting worn out.
But those kids need told that they are loved by actions, not by words.
Now, I hear people say the words that we love our church.
You want to know the truth?
I know who loves this church because they're here every time the doors are open.
Those people love the church.
They come to Wednesday nights because they love the church and they love the people and they want to grow and they love the Lord. They come to service projects because they want to take care of the building. Because you know, someone connected for me yesterday that this building represents our hearts. Have you seen the downstairs? When was the last time we did something with it? We need to take care of this building. This is God's house. This is where we meet. The people who really love this church are the people who have put in the time and have taken care of the building. People of this church come to Sunday school. If you're not serving God at 9:30 somewhere else, you should be here at Sunday school. Because the future of our church are the kids, right? But if you're not bringing your kids to Sunday school, your kids are never going to start coming to youth group. Are you serious? You have to grow. You have to set the example. If you love this church, you'll come to monthly meeting. Do you know why? Because monthly meeting is where we make the decisions. Monthly meeting is where we decided to renovate the downstairs. Monthly meeting is when we decided to hang that projector. Monthly meeting is when we decided to add drums. Monthly meeting is when we decided we're building on the front of the church this summer. And if you were at monthly meeting last year, you know what I'm talking about. And if not, you might be scared. What, we're building again? If you care about the church, you will be at monthly meeting. And I'm not just saying the building. If you care about the people and the welfare and where God is taking this church, you will be at monthly meeting. I don't care how old you are. You know Lydia and Dan came to monthly meeting. It was awesome. I've never been so excited to be at a monthly meeting before when those two youth came to our monthly meeting. And you know they're members too. That's more than we can say for a lot of people who claim membership, isn't it? This one is going to hurt. If you love the Lord, every Sunday you will give your 10%. If I love God, I will give my 10% when it hurts. I will give my 10% when we lose our transmission, our van, and we have to sell the dumb thing because we can't afford it anymore. And we'll buy some cheap car because God deserves 10%. We need bigger offering plates. Come on. Who's giving? Seriously, who's giving to this place that we love so much? Always give. It means you love God. It means you love God. We had VBS last year. Do you love your kids? You know, last year we had to call people who aren't even members here anymore to come in and work VBS because we didn't have enough volunteers from inside the church. When Margaret told me that, I was flabbergasted. I was like, are you serious? These people don't even go to our church, and yet we had to call them to come and minister to our kids because it's too inconvenient for us. Wow. That hit home. That was hard. We had a service project where we painted. We had people come. Joe Felt said, we've got more work to do. Monday night, I'm coming to paint. Please come and help. How many households were there? Three households, four people, and Daniel up in the fellowship hall telling jokes to keep our attitudes high. And you know what? Joe came back on Tuesday straight from work in his work car to paint. I know who loves this church. You guys show me every day who loves the church and who really doesn't and who's just saying things. In John chapter 21, the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee and they're fishing and they're throwing their nets and they're not catching anything and they're out far enough from the shore that they can't see who's on the shore, but they can hear, and someone yells out, have you caught anything? No, throw your nets on the other side of the boat and see what happens. And so they did. And they couldn't. Immediately the nets were full, and you know what happened? Simon Peter immediately recognized that must be Jesus, and he threw on his tunic because he had taken it off because he's working. Threw it on, and he jumped in the water, and he swam all the way to shore, and he found Jesus there. The disciples pulled the fish in, and they brought the boat up to the shore to find Jesus with a fire and breakfast ready for them. And Jesus said something to Simon Peter. He said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter looked at Jesus and said, "Yes, Lord, of course I love you. Feed my lambs." He asked him a second time, he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord, of course I love you. Then take care of my lambs." And a third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" At this point, Simon Peter is getting kind of frustrated. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "Simon Peter, there will be a time, there was a time when you were younger and you dressed as you wanted to and you went where you pleased, but there will be a time when you're old. And men will dress you, they will stretch your arms, and they will dress you how they want to, and they will lead you where you do not want to go." And he's talking about the choice that Peter's going to have when it comes to his death. And you know, Christ was always one to lead by example, so he went up and died on the cross, and he showed Simon Peter that it can be done. He's talking about that love when it gets hard, that love when it's inconvenient. Now, I'm not threatened by somebody who's going to kill me right now, am I? Maybe more than last Sunday. Our inconveniences that we think are inconveniences compared to these things, come on. We are selfish people. Now, what is our greatest commandment? I want to hear it. What's our greatest commandment? Okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, someone who didn't answer that, what is the second but most equally important commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. We've got two commandments here, and what impressed me about Chandra's response to the problem with our boys in the back seat was this, that it was the truth and the solution to every single one of our problems. If you heed these two commandments, guess what? There'll be no problem. When a problem comes up in life, it means that someone is breaking not one, but both of these commandments. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, then you will love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus teaches that when you love your neighbor as yourself, it is the same as saying, "I love the Lord." Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' And then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? We had no idea we were doing these things.' And the King will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me.' Then the King will turn to those on His left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' And then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and not help you? Because if we would have seen you, we would have helped you.' And He will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Jesus is asking us to feed His sheep. He's asking us to act. What does Jesus teach that the greatest love is? When that would give itself for another, right? Would give its life. Sacrifice itself. There's no selfishness in that. Now, as we're reading here, that there will be a judgment day for all of us. where we are judged on our actions, not on our thoughts, not on our words, and definitely not on our intentions, right? But on our actions. Christ teaches us here that as we treat our brothers and sisters, as we treat our youth, as we treat our children, as we treat our adults, we are treating our God. That's why those two are the most important commandments, because they go hand in hand. You treat God right, then if you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, well, duh, you're going to treat your neighbor right. And when you treat your neighbor right, you're treating God right. Now, this church has been telling my wife and me for almost 2 years since we interviewed how much you love your church, how much you love your youth, how much you love your children, how much you love each other, and how much you love your Lord and desire growth. But I tell you the truth, for most of it, what we observe almost every single day, and as we've experienced it and continuously shown, that you love your church, your youth, your children, and each other as long as it conveniently fits into your life. Wow. I was challenged by this message. Am I loving God in my most inconvenient moment, or is it just when it's easy? And the thing is, like, when God puts it into perspective, I just feel so dumb. Now, there is good news. Do you guys want to hear good news? The good news is that our God is a God of compassion and love, and of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances, all the way up, as many chances as you need until you die. He's that kind of God. When you come to God with a heart of repentance, God is going to hear that heart. And just like you wipe away that whiteboard last Sunday, he's going to wipe those away and say, I don't remember those actions anymore. I don't remember that past. We start right now. You want to talk about an inconvenient love? You want to talk about a man who knows inconvenient love? Let's go back to that story. God is the one sitting up in the front seat. And we are all kids. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. We all act like little children with bags of pretzels, refusing him to give them out. When it's convenient, yeah, we'll hand them out. But when it's not, we won't. And God is sitting up there thinking, inconvenient? Are you kidding me? You want to know inconvenient love is sending your son down to a group of people who are going to kill him, not just kill him, but going to torture him, murder him, and hang him on a cross, putting steel through his body and a spear in his side, who do not deserve him. That's an inconvenient love. And God's looking at us and saying, just hand him a pretzel. Just hand him a pretzel. And yet he still has that much compassion for us, and he still has that much grace for us. What an awesome God. I'm humbled to serve that God. I'm humbled to give God my best. Even when my best isn't as good as someone else's best, it's still my best, and that's what God wants. He wants your best. If you say you love him, you got to act on those words. I don't have a problem with you not acting, but don't be saying that you love God. You want to say you love your youth, be willing. You want to say you love these kids? Be willing. You want to say you love this church? Be willing, even when it's hard. I was challenged with something last night, and it's something no one has ever asked me before. Some of our youth got asked to acquire the fire. My wife looked at me last night and said, what are you doing in your life that makes you worthy of the death of Christ? What are we doing? Jesus Christ died on that cross for us, and what are we doing? Complaining about handing out pretzels? We need a revival in this place. I don't know if anybody else sees that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've been here too long. We need a revival in this place. Let it start today. I hope you're as challenged as I am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know nobody wants to hear these types of things, and no one who loves their congregation wants to preach them. Father God, we want you to take this church, and we want you to revive it. And we want you to bless it. We need you to bring these truths into the light for us so that we can examine ourselves and see ourselves. It's not enough to say we're going to examine ourselves, Father God. We need you to examine us, and like that hymn said, we need you to reveal in us our sin and the things that we need to be doing better for you, Father God. I pray that this week as we go, that you would just help us to keep the focus that we need to feed your sheep out of love. And if we hold those first two commandments, everything else will follow.